This is NHL Radio.
Time now for NHL Hour with Commissioner Gary Bettman on NHL Home Ice.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the NHL Hour. This is Gary Bettman, along with EJ Raddick from ESPN the magazine. I am coming to you live today from Joe Louis Arena in Detroit, Michigan, for obvious reasons. And EJ's in our New York City studios. The call-in number is 1-877-645-6696. That's 1-877-645-6696. We'll get to your call shortly, and we're going to be joined later by the former coach, Hall of Famer of the Detroit Red Wings, and currently senior advisor for the Chicago Blackhawks, Mr. Scotty Bowman. And we'll take your calls during the hour as well, as obviously we do. EJ, you there?
Yes, I am, Commissioner, and holding down the fort here in New York City. And you know, what's the read there in Hockey Town? Did you see the big tire there as you drove from the airport to the arena?
Well, you know, interestingly enough, you know how close I cut it when I take the elevator down from the office
yes.
to the studio.
Yes.
Well, I actually did the same thing going to the Joe from New York. I was in the office about 3 hours ago.
Wow.
And I just got here about 30 seconds ago. And I was on the phone and doing some things in the car. There's nobody in the rink. The ice looks terrific. They're showing a baseball game on the video board, so I assume it's the it's the Detroit Tigers
yes.
playing, and I'm getting my bearings as we're talking. But and talking about getting our bearings, let's give people a little bit of information first, and then we'll talk about things that are going on. So we have two more Game 7s tonight.
Yes.
Obviously, the Ducks and Red Wings are here, and the Hurricanes and the Bruins are in Boston. And we get a lot of calls, as you know, about television and television coverage. So I want to make sure that everybody knows where everything is tonight.
Okay.
Okay. First, the Ducks and the Red Wings. Okay. 7 o'clock Eastern start. In Canada, this game is televised live nationally on CBC and RDS at 7. This is a network change from the previous schedule and the previous announcements. In the U.S., Versus will televise the Ducks and Red Wings game as a national game to fans outside of Detroit and Anaheim. Fans in Detroit will be able to watch the game on Fox Sports Detroit, and fans in Anaheim will be able to watch the game on Prime Ticket. You with me so far?
I'm with you, Gary. You're rolling through this right now.
Okay. The Hurricanes and Bruins are at 8 o'clock p.m.
Yes.
Eastern time. And that'll be televised across Canada on TSN.
Okay.
Okay, and RIS. In the U.S., Versus will ensure maximum national coverage by joining it in progress for fans outside of Boston and Carolina immediately upon conclusion of Ducks Red Wings. Fans in Boston will be able to watch the game in its entirety on NESN. And fans in the Carolina market will be able to see the game in its entirety on Fox Sport Carolinas. Fans in the U.S. living outside of Carolina and Boston, those viewing areas, they'll be able to watch the Hurricanes-Bruins Game 7 in its entirety on NHL Center Ice if you have the league's out-of-market television subscription package. And fans who are not currently Center Ice subscribers can call their cable or satellite providers on details how to order. For fans living outside of the local Carolina and Boston viewing areas, the game will be streamed in its entirety live online on NHL.com through a Game Center Live Day Pass. And that's available for $19.95. And if you have any questions on that, go to NHL.com and look for Game Center. So if everybody has that, hopefully if you want to watch the games, and I can't imagine why you wouldn't, now you know how to do that.
That's right. So,
what did you think about last night's game?
Well, I mean, I was down there in Washington, Gary. It was a great environment, obviously. There was a lot of attention after a great first six games of the series. And really, at the end of the day, the Pittsburgh Penguins just proved to be the better team and got off to a good start in the game and rolled from there. But it was a thrilling night to be around, you know, around the game. And I thought, you know, it's kind of almost – it was almost a little bit bittersweet, Gary, to see this, a series that was so exciting end. You know, you wanted to see it kind of go on and on. And, I mean, I thought the stars that we talk about were great, and all the players – really, on both teams, when you go through the lineups, a lot of guys contributed and helped their teams get to this point of the season. So it was really a great series and a lot of fun.
You know, it's interesting. The series had incredible hype. And other than perhaps Game 7, it actually not only fulfilled the hype, probably went beyond the hype. And it's, as you said, it's because the stars were being stars. And Ovechkin and Crosby, they're testing the PA system here, performed. You know, it's interesting also how the game played out. I mean, I assume with you in the building, and I was watching it on TV, the 8 seconds, and you know the 8 seconds I'm referring to, probably sucked most of the life out of the building.
Yep.
But the other thing is, if Ovechkin scores on the breakaway and Fleury doesn't make that save, it may be an entirely different game.
That's a, you know, Gary, it's funny. I do, in my different things I do for ESPN, was writing some stuff on the game for ESPN.com, and that was the first point that I brought up, was really 3 minutes into the game, Ovechkin swoops down the wing, has a great opportunity, and you know, Marc-Andre Fleury, talk about goaltending. Goaltending is about, to me, is about timely saves. And he made a great save there, and it took a little wind out of the building. When you think about it, that happened in a couple of quick seconds. And then those 8 seconds you mentioned with the two goals, in such a short period of time, you saw that, you know, the Pittsburgh Penguins really, it swung things in their favor. So it was a great series, like I say, and it was, I think, you know, obviously, you're the commissioner of this league. People always ask me. They say, well, Gary Bettman is sitting up at night and happy to, you know, thrilled to have this series. And I think anybody would be thrilled in their particular sports to see young stars like this playing against one another. But I would think everybody would be pretty thrilled with the outcome you had here. And hopefully we'll see it again many times throughout their careers.
Well, and you know, from my perspective, if you're watching these games as a fan, even if you're not a fan of a particular team, but you're a fan of the game, how could you not love what you were watching? I mean, it was exciting. It was spectacular. But the playoffs have been like that. Lots of lead changes, lots of scoring chances, lots of excitement, lots of intensity. It goes back to what we talked a lot about during the regular season. The competitive balance in the league, you know, is simply phenomenal. On any given night, it's unpredictable as to what's going to happen, including the fact that last night, I think, largely on what we had seen, was completely unpredictable. I don't think anybody expected to see the game play out like that. So let me, I won't do it, but I'm going to put you on the spot because you commentate on the state of things in the game. So how do you see tonight's two game sevens playing out?
Well, prior to the series, I picked Detroit and Boston to win those series, so I guess I'm going to stay with those two selections. But I think, as you mentioned, Gary, you know, when talking to coaches, especially coaches, because they see it day in and day out, the difference between winning and losing is such a slight margin now because the teams are so closely matched and you have a lot of, you know, parity, I think, throughout the league. But the Red Wings, I mean, Red Wings and Ducks to me, Gary, has been every bit as interesting and thrilling as the Capitals and the Penguins were for different reasons. Such accomplished players on both teams. I like the Red Wings tonight, but I mean, I wouldn't be surprised at all if it went the other way. And the same in Boston. I think the Bruins have a lot of momentum, but we know about the Carolina Hurricanes, right? They don't do anything easy. So, you know, they're like you coming to this show. You know, they wait till the last second and then they jump in and take control. So maybe that'll be happen tonight in Boston. We'll see.
Well, you never know. And why don't we?
You ready to take some phone calls?
That's what we're going to do.
Okay.
And I miss looking at you.
Well, hey,
you know, I miss.
I don't want
Bill Clement to think I'm two timing him, but
yeah.
I miss him too.
Well, hey, listen, I miss having you here. It's always good to have you right in the flesh in the studio. But you got, hey, listen, you got a game seven tonight. You got to be there.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I debated last night whether or not I was going to go to a game because by being at one game, I can't watch both games.
Yes.
And so I was in Boston during the series that they're now completing.
Yes.
I guess a week ago Sunday night.
Yep.
And I figured, you know what, I hadn't been to Detroit in a while. It was time to come, although a little bit of misgiving simply because I like playing with the remote and driving everybody in my house completely crazy as I never watch anything more than 20 seconds. But I'm happy to be here, and I know that Joe will be action-packed and alive tonight. Just one other thing before we take calls. You know what's also interesting? We now, as we look through two rounds of the playoffs, we've been at more than 100% of capacity in terms of attendance for the games. I think last year we were at 100.3% of capacity, and this year we're almost at 102%. Obviously, that's standing room for the fire marshals listening.
Yes.
But we're averaging almost 19,000 people a game, which is simply phenomenal. It's a testament to the game, to our players, to how exciting the matchups have been, and to the greatest fans in all the sports, even in difficult economic times.
Absolutely.
And with that, let's go to our first caller, and that would be Mark in New York. You're on Sirius XM with EJ and Gary.
Hi, Commissioner. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm great. I'd like to ask you a question. Has any suspensions or fines been announced for tonight's Game 7 with Detroit and Anaheim? And if not, why not?
I'm not sure what fines or suspensions you think should have been levied.
Okay, well, let's see. Rule book, rule number 47.9, fighting other than games during the periods of a game. Any teams whose players or goalkeepers become involved in an altercation other than during periods of the game shall be fined pursuant to Rule 47.20, which I'll get to in a minute.
I love when we can read the rule book, but I think we get the gist of where you're going with that. And Commissioner, I'll just leave it to you. I mean, I saw the game there, Detroit and Anaheim. The two teams got into it after the game. I think by rule there might be, you know, a case to be made that maybe some kind of there should have been some kind of issue there. What's your take on it?
My take is that was, you know, what the rules really intended to is when something breaks out separate and apart from the game itself. This was at the end of the game, you know, whether or not it broke out in the last fleeting tenths of a second or beyond, you know, we think this is part of the ebb and flow. And frankly, based on the way the game ended, I'm not sure there was anything that Coley Campbell felt that there was necessarily appropriate to be done. And to be perfectly honest, you don't want to have, if you can avoid it, supplemental discipline impacting the game. The rule that was cited to really talks about fights in warm-ups or between periods. Listen, we don't encourage what happened at the end of the game happening, but the fact of the matter is, I'm not of the belief, and certainly I guess Coley Campbell wasn't of the belief, that this was anything that required action. And, you know, I'm a little surprised that people would want us to overreact in a situation where it would impact the Game 7 when it really wasn't called for. I think that would be a stretch of the rules and not an appropriate use of supplemental discipline in this case. You have a different view?
No, I actually agree with you. I think it was a rollover of the final seconds of the game, a very hotly contested game, and you know, I would have really been surprised if anything else had come of it. And it was just good, hard competition. You'd like to see the whistle blow at the end of the game and the guys go their separate ways, but that's not reality. Sometimes these guys are fighting hard and trying to win these series, and that's part of it. And I'll just apologize to the caller if I cut him off there a little bit, but you know, let's face it, we're here for an hour with the commissioner. We don't want to read the rule book for the whole time. So let's go back to the phone.
That's nice of you. I will completely disavow any knowledge of who got cut off and why.
Well,
I'm not anywhere near.
That's right. You're in Detroit.
I'm in Detroit. I don't have the producer here. I'm not dealing with the phone calls.
Plausible deniability in your case.
Full deniability.
Okay.
But why don't we talk to Maurice in Maryland? You're on with EJ and Gary, and this is Sirius XM.
Hi, Gary and EJ. How you doing?
We're okay. How about you?
I'm a broken-hearted Capitals fan. Gary, I'm 62 years old. I want you to look into the crystal ball. Will you and I live long enough to see the Capitals be Stanley Cup champions?
You know what? Before you do any woes me, and I'll try and take you out of your apparent depression, the Washington Capitals had a great season. this is a team that has been built the right way, and this is a team with more and more experience that has an incredibly bright future. Ted Leonsis is a terrific owner. George McPhee and he are on the same page, and I think the best is still ahead of this franchise. You know, I was in Madison Square Garden when the Ranger drought of 54 years was over. You know, part of the enjoyment for a lot of people in that building was the duration of their suffering getting to the spectacular moment of celebration. So be a little patient. 62, you sound young and healthy and vibrant. You'll be around. And I think it won't be you in your fleeting old age. I think the Caps are a team that are for real and a team for the future.
I agree, Commissioner. I think that was, I mean, they're terrific. They're playing well. And next year, maybe it's the year. Who knows?
See, the pregnant pauses because I can't look at you and figure out whether or not you have anything to say.
I'm in the same
boat.
So
I gave you the chance.
I'm in the same
boat. Okay, so on that note, we'll go to Richard in Ontario. And, Richard, you're on with EJ and Gary. This is XM and Sirius.
Hi, Gary and EJ. Just want to comment that these Game 7s are great. It's been really enjoyable hockey. Obviously, I'm a fellow that lives in southwestern Ontario or southern Ontario and, you know, would like to definitely see another team down here. So I guess my question is, when is the league looking to expand, into strong hockey markets? And will the league retract teams if some of these sort of other or non-traditional markets, I shouldn't say traditional, but are struggling? Would the team look at, or would the league look at retracting and maybe bring some more teams in?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you should ask that question, because if we were having this conversation 7 or 8 years ago, the teams you would be talking about retracting would have been Buffalo, Ottawa, or Pittsburgh, all of which experienced bankruptcy and were having severe financial troubles. It also might have been Edmonton and Calgary, whose buildings were half empty and were struggling mightily. We think that all of our current markets can, with the right ownership and the right management, support their franchises. We've had some teams that have struggled on the ice for a long period of time, sometimes too long, and it's had an impact. And so we try and make it work. We have a history of fixing problems and trying not to abandon markets. I know people will point to Winnipeg and to Quebec City, but in those two cases, the problem ultimately came down to the fact that there was no prospect of a new building, and we couldn't find anyone, we couldn't find anybody who wanted to own the teams there. And so you relocate as a last resort. We're not looking to relocate right now. What's going on in Phoenix has nothing to do with Ontario. With all due respect to our great fans there, this isn't about trying to deprive you of a team. This is first and foremost about fixing problems in Phoenix and the enforcement of the league's rules and procedures. We weren't contemplating expanding. The world's in the middle of a recession. I'm not sure that this is the best time to be expanding. But if a franchise, despite all our best efforts, cannot be saved, that's a completely different story. But we're not dealing with any of those situations right now. And so I know the debate has been and is being framed that somehow we're trying to deprive great hockey fans of a team. That's not what this is about. If at some point in the future there are places where it's a good idea for us to have teams, we'll deal with it at the appropriate time and in the appropriate way. But ripping a franchise out of one city and violation of league rules and procedures to put it somewhere else isn't the way we do business. We owe our fans better than that.
Hey, Gary, you know, talking to you over the years, especially recently, I really understand your real feeling about wanting to keep teams in these markets. I mean, you've expressed this a number of times publicly and in conversations I've had with you. When you look back, I mean, you've been in this job now for quite a while. We talked about it, I think, a couple weeks ago, that there's not very many players left that were in the league when you came into the league. It's been that long now. Do you look back on it and say, hey, I wish we could have done more in a Hartford or in a place like Winnipeg or in Quebec? Because I know you want in your heart to keep these teams there because you have a real feeling for the fans in those places.
You know, it's a great question, and the answer is really twofold. One, perhaps with the benefit of the experience we've had, my team, Bill Daly, David Zimmerman, Craig Harnett, guys at the league office, maybe with 17 years of experience, we've gotten better at dealing with the problems. Although I do believe when it came to the franchises that got moved, at the time we moved them, we had absolutely no choice. We had no alternatives. And as long as you have an alternative, listen, you know, Edmonton actually stayed, the Oilers stayed in Edmonton for less money than at the time Les Alexander was prepared to pay for the team in Houston. Mm-hmm. And so we have a history of trying to do the right things. But the second part and the more important part is, you know, I'm looking at it out at the ice at the Joe, and it wasn't that long ago that this building was almost as empty as it is right now. 8,000 people a night. When the Ilitches took over this franchise, it was in dire straits. They were raffling off a car at every game. And, you know, great ownership like the Ilitch family, Mike and Marion in Detroit, can make all the difference in the world in how a franchise performs. If you run out on a city when they're having problems and you don't try to fix them, it sends a terrible, terrible message to all of your fans everywhere, because why should your fans ever have to worry that they could be next? And so this is a covenant with respect to all of our fans, not just fans in Phoenix. And it's also about making sure that we do everything we can to fix problems. We don't try to run out on cities. That's not the way we focused on it. That's what I feel in my heart. That's the way we've conducted ourselves. If people disagree with that, I apologize, but I think we're doing the right things. On that note, let's stay tuned, please, callers. Stay on hold. More to come on the NHL Hour on NHL Home Ice, XM 204, Sirius 208, and NHL.com.
Jonathan Toews of the Chicago Blackhawks, and you're listening to the NHL Hour with Commissioner Gary Bettman on NHL Radio. Now, back to Commissioner Bettman.
Welcome back to the NHL Hour. Gary Bettman in Detroit, along with EJ Raddick from ESPN the magazine, who's in New York. And we're going to go to our guest. We have the distinct pleasure and privilege of having perhaps the greatest coach in any sport at any time, and Hall of Fame legend, Scotty Bowman, joining us. Scotty, are you there?
Yeah. Hi, Gary. Hi, EJ.
Where are you?
I'm in Buffalo.
Are you? You're actually being honored this weekend by Niagara University, am I correct?
I'm going to have an honorary doctorate of pedagogy. I can hardly say it.
What is it?
But that's something to do with teaching. I don't know.
No, actually, that's exactly what it has to do with. And have you ever been so honored before?
Just once with another college here, Canisius College. That was Humane Letters. So I don't know if they call you doctor, too, or not, but I'm looking forward to it.
Well, Dr. Bowman, it's good of you to be with us. Tell me what it's like as a coach to be getting ready for a Game 7 in the playoffs.
You know, Gary, as a coach, it's a lot different than any other game, but I've always talked to the coaches, and you're pretty nervous. But once the puck is dropped, for whatever reason, then I guess you can do something about it, or you feel you can, and the nerves go away. You're nervous before any game, but getting into Game 7, you have your game plan, you've done all your homework, there's nothing else you can do. But once again, once that puck's dropped, your nerves kind of they dissipate, and you know you're in that zone for the next 2 to 3 hours, wherever it takes to, you know, for that game.
Do you come away from an exciting game remembering every single detail? This is as a coach, or does it at some point just become a blur?
It can be a blur. I always watched our team more than the other team, and that's why you have all the video and everything that you can always pick up later. But I guess it's hard to watch. It's hard to watch everything. But I was always trying to watch, the other team's forechecking, how are we getting the puck out of our own end, what are we doing in their end, the systems that you try to put in place. But you don't have a lot of time to really spectate because you're thinking of the next line change. You're thinking, that's what usually the coaches are doing on the bench, is what is the next move? Who's going to go out there? And of course, the shifts are short now in the playoffs, and you're constantly. I mean, you figure shifts are like 30 to 40 seconds. So you're always ahead of the game. You always have to have your players, your next unit ready. And Gary, it seems in the playoffs, like I was watching that game last night, and they went stretches. I don't know how much time. What they're talking about, but sometimes they go way, way past the time for the commercial, and so you're making all those changes. If you're a coach, you're getting about two groups ready every minute.
There was an article that I read on the plane coming out this afternoon in Sports Illustrated, talking about the playoffs and talking about gamesmanship, and that coaches sometimes have the wrong players stand up at a line change to try and fool the other team, or that you'll dress a different set of players for the warm-up to try and, get the other team a little off in terms of who you might be skating. You weren't guilty of doing things like that, were you?
Well, I never like to tip my hand of, especially during the warm up. But they get onto it pretty. So some games maybe you would have your warm up. I don't think though when you get into a game seven, I think those other things. There's a lot of other stuff to worry about. But yeah, there are teams that don't show their hand on the lines they're going to play. You'll see coaches on the bench, though, on both teams. Usually the assistant coaches are documenting who's warming up with who. But sometimes you have a couple of decisions to make, maybe a couple of players that you don't know how they're going to go during the warm-up, and they could be scratched, and you have to have that. That's usually why teams dress a player or two prior to the game, because, health reasons.
You're probably uniquely qualified to talk a little bit about what's going on in the West between your previous role with Detroit and your current role with Chicago. But before we do that, did you get a chance to watch much of the Washington-Pittsburgh series? And were you surprised about how good it was and how it ended?
Well, I watched as much as I could, Gary, and I really was watching, what a matchup between – I think the focus – Well, I know the focus was definitely on both Crosby and Ovechkin, but there was a lot of other players involved, and I didn't know going in if either defense group could really handle the attack of the other team, and maybe that's why we did have a lot of scoring in the games. But it was a series for the ages, and to go down it's just unfortunate for Washington. That they got behind in the game and virtually at the end of the first period and early in the second, it would have taken an unbelievable comeback. There has been some, but not very many. And it just so happens, like the first 7 or 8 minutes last night, pretty even game. And then all of a sudden, a good save by Fleury on Ovechkin. That was the first turning point in the game, and then you always worry about early penalties that you have to kill, and they didn't kill the first penalty, and then it was tough after that. But your great players have to play great in those kind of games for you to win, and that's basically what happened with the talent of Crosby. I was amazed. It's his first seventh game in his entire hockey history, including all his minor, in minor hockey and everything. So he came through big in his seventh game.
No question. We're talking to Scotty Bowman. Scotty, tell our listeners what they should be looking for tonight in the Boston, Carolina, and Detroit, Anaheim games.
Well, in the Boston, Carolina, Carolina's had the experience of winning three game sevens. Mind you, only one on a, away from their own rink, and that was the one against the Devils, which you wouldn't want to, try that again, I don't think, but you never know. But I think when I look at Carolina, they have an excellent goaltender in Cam Ward. He won a Stanley Cup as a very young goalie. He had two or three years after that he wasn't as good as he was, but maybe the team had gone back. But now he's back on his game. He's really played so well with this team. And, you know, Boston has the momentum of winning games 5 and 6, coming home, and they would like to duplicate what they did in game 5. There's no question about that. I think the start of the game, because even in that game, that 4-0 loss that the Canes had in Boston, the first 8 or 9 minutes, they were fine. They were right in the game. I mean, for a game away from home, and you know that when you're up 3-1 in a series, I worried more about the games when we were ahead in a series 3-1 or 3-2, even 3-0 in a series where that little spark can get the other team going. So I would think that's what you have to be careful of, is the start of this game. The Canes would have to get a, because the home ice can really start kicking in if you get off to a terrific start for the home fans. Now, the other series with Anaheim and Detroit, I mean, you have two teams. There's a recipe and formula to win the Stanley Cup, and both of them have it. I mean, they've got enough players on each team that have won that Stanley Cup, and I think with the goaltending that this rookie Hiller is, or not really a rookie, but in the playoffs he is, that this has really been a story for them, and they have the experience, and you know they're going to go into a tough rink. The Red Wings, it's not the same team as they've had before, but they're 10-4 in Game 7s. All the Red Wing teams in history, which I read today, 10-4 is quite a number, Gary. When you know that I think the percentage in seventh games is around 60. I read 63%. So I would say the start of these games is so important.
Well, you probably coached the number of those Game 7s in the 10-4.
Well, I don't know. We had some. We had the last game with Colorado. We had a Colorado game and a St. Louis game when Steve Yzerman scored in the overtime. And the Colorado game was a blowout, something like the game last night that the Penguins had at Washington. So, yeah, it's, you always hope in the seventh game that your team realizes, and you shouldn't have to do an awful lot. There shouldn't be a lot of discussion. I mean, they know the importance. I think, well, Dick Irvin, the broadcaster, you know, Gary, told me when I was in, this has got to be 30 years ago, his dad was a famous coach, Dick Irvin Sr., coached in the league for many, many years. And his dad always told his son, he said, you know, if you could ever get your team and crack some kind of a joke, this is hard to do prior to the game or at a crucial time. Sometimes it just doesn't get them relaxed as much. It takes the tension off. I tried it a couple of times, and it actually did work, so I give a lot of credit to Dick's dad.
Are they jokes that you can repeat? Not that I'll ask you to tell them.
There was one in Detroit. It was involving Chris Draper, and I mentioned something about scoring the first goal in the game, and I said, you know, Chris, even you could score a first goal, you know, something, because he's not a big goal scorer, and they kind of broke up the room. And I think that was in the 7-0 game with Colorado. I made some reference to Chris Draper that I had a real good relationship with him as a coach player. I didn't have it with every player, but with Chris, came out of nowhere when I was starting to coach, and you know, I've always admired him. He's not playing, of course, right now. He may play tonight, I think, but he hasn't played yet.
So let's talk about what you've been doing this year. For those of our listeners who aren't aware, you're a special advisor to the Chicago Blackhawks. Talk about what the organization has been like this year, the transformation, your transformation, what it is you've been doing, and how you see this team, this young team that seems to be emerging at a key time of the season.
Well, it's been a dream playoff, Gary. I had a very difficult decision last summer. when my son called me, and he'd gone through quite a bit, and he said they were looking for somebody to work in Chicago as a senior, sort of the same thing I was doing with Detroit. And at first, I didn't really think much about it. I wasn't very interested. And then we, as a family, we started talking about it. And then I started to call the Red Wing people, starting with the ownership, Mike Illich and Kenny Holland, Jimmy Devolano, and Mike Babcock. And, you know, I explained to them what Stan had gone through. They had known it, and they were very close to the situation. They said, you know, you really don't have – it's a no-brainer. You got to, you know, you have to do it.
Like, for our listeners who probably – don't know, Stan is assistant general manager of the Blackhawks and was at the time and had an illness that he was dealing with when you went through this with him.
He had a tough battle and he's finally, you know, with his scans have come back well now, and you never can tell, but he's really going there. We were going to go there and visit anyway, so it was a transformation, and you know, knowing what the Red Wings were all about, and I didn't know much about the Blackhawks, and going there and meeting Rocky Wirtz and John McDonough, and I had known Dale Talon a long, long time. In fact, Dale's dad is the late Stan Talon, who passed away in November. When I was a scout in Montreal in the early 60s, he was a regional scout for us in northern Quebec. So I go back a long time with Dale, and then, of course, with the naming of Joel Quenneville, he had been a coach in the league for at least 10 years, and I'd coached against him a lot. And so it all came together, and I have a connection, too, also with young Pat Kane, because he's from Buffalo, and I have some of his relatives I knew. I didn't know Pat until a couple of years ago when he was playing in Ann Arbor in the U.S. Development Program. But so, and you know, and Pat had boarded with Stan last year, and I'd go up to Chicago and visit with them. So it all kind of came together. But I knew it'd be a battle to get in the playoffs, and for that team to go through two rounds and play terrific opponents like Calgary and Vancouver, and the excitement of the whole scene, I would not have predicted it, Gary, at all.
What do you believe the keys for the Blackhawks in the next round will be?
Well, you know, the keys will be, I think it's always been an advantage to get a little respite between series, and usually if you could predict it, at the end of the second round, if you can grab 4 or 5, 6 days, and, you know, because it was an emotional series with Vancouver. They're all emotional, but, you know, it went to the sixth game, and they went to the last period, the last few minutes of the third period to win the game. So, you know, you kind of wind down a little bit. I would be the ability to crank it up because there's not much that they could be doing right now getting ready for the next opponent. They don't know who it is, and they'll know only late tonight. So, you know, and then you have a couple of days to prepare, not knowing what the schedule is and everything. But so it's just... You have to crank it back up, and you know, that often happens with teams. I think with Vancouver, Gary, they ended up the season on a terrific note. They swept the Blues, and they you know, in all fairness to them, when you're out 8 or 9 days, I've always felt as a coach, you can handle 4 or 5 days. When you get past that fifth or sixth day, you got all kinds of decisions to make. Should we not practice? Should we rest? How many practices do you really need? And you know, you got to get back to that high, because each series that you play, you have to play better to succeed, because you're playing better teams. So I would say that would be their focus, is you know, the people, you, all your friends and all your relatives are telling you how great you've been and how, you know, wonderful it is, but the ones that can help you are only the players in that room, you know.
Scotty, before I let you go, I know EJ would like to ask you a question. EJ,
yeah,
you have something for Scotty?
Yeah, Scotty, I just wanted to, you know, it's always great to have a chance to listen to you and to kind of pick your brain a little bit. I was talking to Craig Button, who was the former general manager of the Flames today. He wrote an article for NHL.com on, you know, Game 7, so we got talking about it. And it reminded us both that, you know, it was a little more than 30 years to the day that we have the famous Game 7 in the Conference Finals, I guess it was, or the semifinals at that time, Boston and Montreal, the too many men on the ice play where Guy Lafleur ended up scoring the tying goal and your Montreal Canadiens team won it in overtime. And I just wanted to see what your recollection of that game is on kind of almost to the day 30 years ago when that took place.
Well, they show it an awful lot, so I didn't have to worry about my memory as much as I've seen it a lot. But it, what I remember the most about that was getting ready to try to win four in a row. That was the closest we came during that stretch of being eliminated. And when you're down to the last minute, what I did remember after watching the replays of it, as everyone knows, we had a great offensive and defensive team, but we had the three great defensemen in Serge Savard, Larry Robinson, and Guy Lapointe. Guy Lapointe got hurt in the early part of the third period, so he wasn't playing at the end of the game. And I remember after we tied the game and we got into overtime, and that was one of the first times that group of players, because we even swept series, and
yep.
We kind of dodged so many bullets in that game. I said, if I'm going to lose, I'm going to lose with Savard and Robinson on the ice. And after watching it went 10 minutes, and I don't think, I know that they got off the ice for a brief time, maybe 30 or 40 seconds, but not much more. And we were down to about three defensemen, and fortunately, Yvon Lambert scored the winning goal. But we got a terrific break in the game, naturally with the Lafleur, with the too many men on the ice and the power play goal. And you know, I've had some heartaches in the seventh games, and I've had some great things happen. But that's probably the one that would stand out the most, because the team went on after that in the finals to beat the Rangers, and that would be the four in a row.
Scotty, thank you for taking the time to join us. Good luck to you and the Blackhawks in the rest of the playoffs. And congratulations again on being honored Sunday by Niagara University.
No, thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks,
that
Scotty.
Was Scotty Bowman. This is the NHL Hour. We're going to take a brief break, and callers, stay on hold. We'll be back to you and take your calls for the duration of our hour. Hang in there. This is the NHL Hour, XM Sirius.
Hi, this is Eric Staal of the Carolina Hurricanes, and you're listening to the NHL Hour with Commissioner Gary Bettman on NHL Radio. Now back to Commissioner Bettman.
Welcome back to the NHL Hour. I'm in Detroit. EJ Raddick from ESPN the Magazine is in New York, and we're here to take your calls. The call-in number, 1-877-NHL on XM, or 1-877-645-645. 6696. I think that's the same number.
Yes, it
is. In any event, it is. You know, it's funny how that works. Scotty is amazing. I mean, we could have talked to him for hours.
I would love to talk to Scotty Bowman for like days and just learn about the different things, because he is so shrewd, and he does keep a lot of stuff, you know, tries to keep it close to the vest because he knows everybody wants to kind of learn from him. But he's great to have on. He's a great guest, and you know, just always fun listening to Scotty Bowman.
Well, but also, and while I asked him the question about remembering every detail, or does sometimes it seems like a daze, he can tell you exactly what happened minute by minute in games he coached 30 years ago.
Exactly.
It is incredible.
Yep. And you
it
know,
is
that's,
incredible.
That's what I say, Gary, too. Don't be fooled, because he knows exactly what's going on in every minute of those games.
Well, and talking about knowing what's going on, why don't we talk to some of our callers, and we'll start with Jeff in Florida. You're on with EJ and Gary, and this is Sirius XM.
Hey, Commissioner, respect what you do. I think you're really bringing Florida back, hockey back all over. And a couple things is, one, is there any contracts looking, negotiating with ESPN possibly for next season, for not only the regular season but the playoffs? The other thing I know you get hammered a lot about, but the shootout has to go in the regular season. I mean,
really? You know that's fascinating because you know we poll our fans a lot, and I think the approval rating, both in the U.S. and in Canada, for the shootouts during the regular season only, we've never talked about doing it in the playoffs, is somewhere between 70% and 80%. Overwhelmingly, fans seem to like it, particularly in comparison to when we used to send people home with ties. It's really changed the dynamic of the end of the game and through the five-minute overtime period. So reasonable people can disagree on that. With respect to the television question, we have two more years under our current agreement with Versus in the United States. Long-term, we're locked up in Canada with the CBC, TSN, RDS, so we'll move that aside. NBC, we're expecting to be continuing with them next year as well. Versus, I think, gets an unfair rap, particularly everybody seems to be universally of the view that the coverage has been terrific. We're their priority. We're important. The game coverage, the coverage before and after the games is terrific. But the other point that I think people are missing, when you compare the viewership that we're now getting on Versus, having had three full seasons, now this is our fourth, to build with them, to grow together, to see their distribution improve, the numbers that we're getting are at least as good, if not better, as to what we were getting on the ESPN2-ESPN combination. So we're not giving up really any viewership anymore. To the contrary, I think we and Versus are growing together, and we have, under our current agreement with Versus, two more seasons to go anyway. And as I sit here today, I can't do anything but praise the partnership we've had with Versus, and we're not looking to make any changes. I know there are a lot of people, some in the media, who criticize us for it, say we need to be on ESPN. We were with them for a while. They were good partners, but they have everything, and I kind of like where we are now, where we get the priority and special treatment that Versus gives us. Our next caller, John, is in New York. John, you can stop in and visit EJ at the store if you want, or you can talk to us on the phone. It's your choice. You're on XM Sirius.
Hey, guys. I'm a very happy Penguin fan today.
I'll bet you are.
I want to talk about Penguins and Capitals. I think there's no reason to say now Crosby is the best player in the league, and it's no longer Ovechkin because he totally outplayed him. And the Penguins have now beaten the Capitals 7 out of 8. And I wanted to know, both of you, who do you think their better matchup would be, Carolina or Boston?
Well, I'll let EJ talk about that. I don't prognosticate, because if what I say happened to come true and the fan of me was publicly blurted out, and there really is no fan of me anywhere in terms of teams, it's only the game, people would say bad and nasty things like somehow I had something to do with it. So, you know, I'm just looking for entertaining and exciting games tonight. I'm hoping for exciting and entertaining and long series. Beyond that, EJ, give our caller a prediction, if you would.
Well, I guess, Gary, I mean, you know, you look at, you know, the two teams. I mean, Boston gave Pittsburgh some trouble during the regular season when they met early, but when Pittsburgh got their act together late, you know, Pittsburgh was able to handle Boston a little bit better. On the flip side, Carolina and Pittsburgh played a game late in the season, and Carolina gave Pittsburgh everything they could handle. So I think both teams would present different problems for the Penguins. But, you know, the good news, like Scotty Bowman said during our interview, he said, I'm looking at my team. And I think for the Penguins right now, for Dan Bylsma and that group, they're looking at their group. And when they're playing the kind of game that they played last night in Game 7, you know, they're going to present a lot of problems for either the Penguins or the Hurricanes. So I think they'll be watching carefully tonight. I think they have – there's probably things they could probably try to do against either team. I think Boston will win because I picked them at the start of the series. But Carolina, as I mentioned to you earlier, they're such a resilient group. I really would be – I won't be surprised at all if Carolina comes in and plays a terrific game tonight with a guy in goal there, Cam Ward, who has never lost a Game 7 or a playoff series in his young NHL career.
So let me ask you a question, EJ. When you're doing the analysis that you do so thoroughly, both in the broadcast media, radio, and when you're writing for ESPN, the magazine, how important is it when you're analyzing a playoff series to go back and look at the regular season series, particularly the games that took place in October and November and December?
Well, I think you got to put them in context. I think really that's the key. That's why I mentioned the Penguins and Hurricanes, because they've played recently, and Carolina was a much different team, especially in the last 6 weeks of the season, as were the Penguins, because they made some changes. They made a coaching change. They added some players. They got Sergei Gonchar back. So I don't necessarily look at the series and just take it on face value. I try to look and see where the teams were when they played, and how they were health-wise and how they were personnel-wise. And so, you kind of take a little bit from that. But even then, the teams change and the dynamics change in the postseason. And you have some guys who are dinged up. And, Mike Green, for example, with the Capitals, played throughout the whole playoffs with a pretty severe rib injury from what I hear. So that changes the dynamic, too. But you look at it and you try to make some sense of it. But it's tough. These teams are closely matched. And, sometimes it's one little thing that could twist it the other way.
Well, and in fact, to make your point, the Penguins team that's playing now isn't the Penguins team from the start of the season in
exactly.
terms of coach, in terms of injuries and the like.
No question.
Let's go.
Go ahead.
No, you go.
Well, I just want to say that Sergei Gonchar, that to me was the big, him being out 60 games, it really hurt them early in the year. But now
exactly.
that he's been back, he's been terrific for them. And he was hurt and came back again in Game 7. So a couple of days off now will do him good. And, hopefully he'll be able to go for the Penguins in the next round.
Don't get carried away. It wasn't that I was deferring to you. I was about to go to another call, but I didn't want to cut off your thought. On that note, let's go to Heather in New York. You're on with EJ and Gary when we're not tripping over each other. This is Sirius XM. Heather?
Hello?
Are you there, Heather? Yes, Heather. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Hello. Good. What can we do for you?
Actually, I'm calling from Phoenix, not New York.
Okay, because the computer screen I have said Heather in New York. Okay, Heather in Phoenix, so much the better. How are things in Phoenix?
They're excellent, thank you. That's why I didn't respond, because I'm not in New York. But I wanted to say on behalf, I'm president of the Phoenix Coyotes Booster Club, and I wanted to say on behalf of all the fans in Phoenix, thank you very much for your support. We love our team, and we love knowing that you are standing behind us and you want to help us keep our team.
So you believe, thank you very much. So you believe that hockey in the desert works?
Oh, my God, 100% yes. I was not even a fan of hockey before 1997 when I saw my first Phoenix Coyotes game, and now I'm president of the Booster Club. So, yes, it does.
Well, thank you for all you do. You know we believe that the Coyotes belong in Phoenix, and we're working very hard to make sure that that continues to be the case. And I know the club, as do we, greatly appreciates all of your support. Okay, next caller, Ed in Pennsylvania. You're on with EJ and Gary.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Nice.
Just an observation and a question, and then I'll hang up and listen to you off air. I'm a disappointed Devils fan, but I think the hockey fans of the world are getting their money's worth. These playoffs are fantastic. And my question has to do with the flow of the game, with the netting that's up behind each of the end boards. I know pucks that are shot directly into the netting are not in play, and no consideration to allowing that because all of the netting is different in different arenas. But perhaps the thought of allowing a deflected shot that goes off the netting remain in play may keep the flow of the game going. I just thought maybe I could hear your comments on that.
It's an interesting thought, and obviously if it's off a deflection, it isn't something that's being done intentionally, but I think it would create some unnatural, unauthentic, if you will, bounces, and the puck, I think, would be too much luck would be involved as opposed to the skill, which we normally have. Some buildings would string their nets intentionally tighter than others. I think there's too much gamesmanship, gimmickry, and the like that would have an absolute impact on that. You would disagree, EJ?
No. I think, I'm always amazed at the questions that fans come up with, and that's a good one. But, no, I think we better leave that one alone.
We'll leave that alone. We're going to leave all of you alone for another week. This has been the NHL Hour. Coming up next is In the Slot with Mike Ross and Phil Esposito. We'll be back next Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern. Until then, enjoy a great week of hockey, especially tonight. Thanks for listening.
For more podcasts, check out NHL.com. This is NHL Radio.